from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Kyle Schwarber with one of the biggest hits of the season. Maybe the biggest hit of the season. Let's listen last night in the moment, as called by Tom McCarthy on NBC Sports Philadelphia, when Kyle Schwarber, you know, a grand salami.
Two balls and one strike. Bases are loaded. Yes! A fly ball deep to left field. Going back is Stowers. Back to the wall. Gone! Grand slam! Kyle Schwarber, the seventh of his career, and the Phillies take the lead.
I got to tell you, if the Phillies, and listen to that crowd. Listen to that crowd. If the Phillies win the World Series, it's certainly they this moment,
in my opinion, will be forever remembered.
Like Jake Elliott's 61-yard field goal against the Giants?
A little bit. Like, the thing that's slightly different there is that was early, and we were trying to figure out how good the Eagles were, and we weren't sure. Like, we know. We've seen it 2022, 2023, and certainly the first 2 months of this season. We know the Phillies can be great. We didn't know it then about the Eagles, but I hear you, Ray, as far as, like, a launch point towards something. That led to, I think, like a 9-game winning streak or an 8-game winning streak, whatever it was until that Seattle game that they lost. Boy, they always lose to Seattle.
They
out
do.
There. Holy mackerel.
Have we ever won in Seattle in recent memory? As long as we've been doing the show.
Well, no, my God.
They never beat Russell Wilson.
They never beat Russell Wilson. They beat Seattle after September 11th. So I remember in 2001. That was, I think, their first or second game back after September 11th, and that was...
But that was being played at the University of Washington, wasn't it?
It's all Seattle to me, John.
I'm telling you, that
right
wasn't...
That's right there in Seattle.
I don't know. The new stadium was not built in 2001.
The Eagles have not
sure
won out there.
I'm pretty sure that we played at the UW-on-the-water stadium
Fair
in
enough.
2001.
I just feel confident the Eagles have not beaten the Seahawks in at least 15 years out there. I'll just say that. All right, let's listen to Kyle Schwarber after the game. Because everyone wanted to hear from him. He did a TV interview. He did a radio interview. Here is Schwarber after the game talking about certainly what had been a team strength. We hope is still a team strength. It was last night. It had felt faulty there for a couple weeks. Here's Schwarber after the game. James, here's Schwarber.
I think the biggest thing about our team, right, is that there's been some. Some bad losses, a lot of runs scored and us not scoring some runs, but, I always feel like the fight's there, and that was just another example of it tonight to where, we were fighting, and, obviously they jump out early, but, we're going to stay within ourselves and go out with our game plans, and I felt like we did a really good job off Cabrera, making him throw a lot of different pitches and getting his pitch count up and got him out after the fourth inning and got some really clutch hits there near the end of the game as well.
So here's the thing about the fight he referenced. When I was really mad during the show yesterday, and obviously had been watching the game 2 days ago, and I think many of us were 2 days ago watching the game, I wasn't mad because the Phillies lost. I was mad because the Phillies didn't fight. There's a difference. Like, I can accept, I might not be happy about it, but I can accept if one of our teams loses because they just get beat and the other team's good. And by the way, you can lose to bad teams. Not every night's your night. But I don't accept when a team doesn't show resolve and fight and grit and determination and all that good stuff, which, by the way, is like the heart of what Jason Kelce talked about, both in his speech after the Super Bowl, but also right after the Super Bowl when he was crying in his locker room, talking about his grandfather having taught him, that famous quote from Calvin Coolidge about, persistence. Like, you need that in life. And it just felt like over the last month, the Phillies, Sean, just were lagging. There was that John Wayne movie called True Grit. Is that the John Wayne movie?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, you need that.
And it was not along the lines of the personality that this team had developed.
Correct.
That's what was so surprising.
Yeah.
We thought we knew the team, and then they went away for the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And they were unrecognizable upon return. It feels like what we saw last night was more in character. You know, the fight, the drive, the guts. In the approach, it really is.
Well, that's another thing.
Offensively, faith, confidence. No matter how dire it feels, this team can bring it back.
All right, one other thing. I need a ruling here, Ben. Did the Phillies roll out a new lineup last night with Castellanos at two, or was that purely a byproduct of Trey Turner not playing? And it's like, all right, no Trey. Someone's got to go bat too. Hey, Nick, you be the guy that go hit too. Like, because otherwise it was pretty much the same lineup.
Correct.
Do you think that was a new lineup or just Trey Turner didn't play?
I think it was just Trey Turner did not play.
They agree.
Needed someone to hit in the two hole.
So tonight you expect Trey Turner to hit too?
I do, especially against they're going to get three lefties in a row against the Nats. So I expect Weston Wilson to be playing left field for three straight games. I expect Amundo Sosa to be playing possibly two out of three games at second base.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're going to see some changes.
By the way, Seltzer, how about Cody Clemens one of these days?
He's been crushing it in the minors.
Kingery's been crushing it.
Yeah, Kingery's been insane.
But I don't buy it. I just don't. I mean, maybe I shouldn't be dumb and naive.
Why would you? Kingery's doing it. They're at the same level.
Because I've seen Cody Clemens do it much more here, much more recently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Scott Kingery had like 1 month here about 5 years ago. Cody Clemens, I mean, I got to tell you, I trust him. I trust him more than some of these other guys that have been out there. I mean,
that's strange.
Right?
He's a big
how much
ball
I
player,
trust him.
No doubt. No
well, then
doubt.
Get him up here.
Yeah.
That's.
I understand where you're coming
that's
from.
That's where I'm at. All right, let's go to Chuck and Cherry Hill. Chuck, good morning.
Good morning, all. John, maybe a better response to your thesis would have been certainly not week 10. That's irrelevant because he's got his reps. But how about week 1, 2, or 3, our quarterback's off because he didn't get a couple preseason reps, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that.
Yeah. But they have won the opening game all 3 years with Hurts and Sirianni.
I'm with you. What do I know about football? I hope Turner's back tonight. Career 300 hitter. You know who else hit 170 in August? Otani.
Wow.
All right. So, I mean, this guy's a 300 hitter. Let him be. And I'll tell you, good pitching will bring the lag out in you. And the Phillies have seen a lot of good pitching, and that's why I think they suffered from it. Last night was just terrific. I hope we see it. I'd like to make a proclamation. It won't hold up, of course. But when you put Ben Rojas in center, we talked about this last week, he makes everything so much better. I would like to see in the box score someday, Ben, you have run production, right? So you got runs. You got RBIs. Wouldn't it be great in a box score if we could see runs saved? Because they all add up, right? That's the final score of a game. Who took two runs away by their defense? And that's what Rojas
well,
does.
It's subjective, though.
That's, no, they do. Well, it is a stat, though. It is defensive runs.
It's a stat, Joe.
Yeah,
it's not
saved.
Subjective.
It is.
Well, but how? But how do they determine whether a center fielder definitely got to the ball, but someone else would not have?
They do catch probability
metric. How many people have made this play?
I understand
at this spot
that, but how do you make that into a stat? That like Johan Rojas definitely.
Well, it's percentages. It's like if there's a runner on second base, this guy scores 98% of the time if balls hit to this part of the ballpark, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But you understand what I'm saying for a box score?
That's hard.
It's not exact. It's not exact.
That's my point.
It's not exact.
Stats are exact. This is a probability.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, but they know that Rojas can cover 120 feet and the next guy 80. And they do it based on zone.
No, I got you.
It's good. It's really good. That's all I do is look at this stuff.
All right, Chuck, give me an answer, my man. This is for the tickets to the link.
Yeah, let me go back. What happens when I write my answer down and I can't read my handwriting? It happens every day, by the way. Joe, no, here we go. I know I wrote down Joe. Joe Girardi comes from the Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Great answer.
You know? Who or what did you expect more from?
Excellent.
Girardi. You know, I saw him at an event. It was the Philadelphia Sports Writers Banquet in 2019, or maybe even 2020, pre-pandemic. And watching him, I was mesmerized.
I remember you came in and talked around the show next year. You're like, yes. He was so impressive.
There was like 7 or 8 or 9 different people that had been featured prior to him because he was pretty late in the evening. And he, when he started speaking, without looking at notes, like, Sam, you were incredible as a rower, and Frank, you were this, and Sally, you did this in volleyball. Like, he went around the room, and it was like, man, this guy's got a personal touch. And I can't wait to see him take...
So these are the people being celebrated at the event, and he took the time to prepare and read and study their history so he could refer to them specifically.
Look, maybe he read from the book that was in the pamphlet, but I would just say he absorbed the night, the prior 2 hours, heard their story presented on stage. You know,
it actually mattered to him enough that he learned about the people who were being celebrated.
And then he actually was the manager, and he stunk. Totally stunk. All right, John, I need a ruling from you. Mm-hmm. And actually, Ben, you as well, because both of you guys were in the fraternity of being an athlete in a sport. John, for you, football. Ben, for you, baseball. So, John, you've talked before on the show about how it's sort of a no-no to talk about another player's money and contractual situations. Yeah. Let's put it that way. So
it's always, hey, we're happy for any player who's getting paid what he deserves. Yes,
but also
it's going to come full circle.
But there's the holdout.
You're happy for anyone.
But there's the holdout types, which is a different category, which, by the way, I think is part of probably what bothered T.O. with Donovan. Like, not that T.O. was holding out, but it was complicated. All right. So Micah Parsons this week commented on CeeDee Lamb. And I want you to give me the ruling on whether Parsons is too positive about CeeDee Lamb's definitely going to be week one with the Cowboys. And does that infringe on CeeDee Lamb's negotiation with Dallas or not? Here is what Micah Parsons said this week. James, let's play the audio of Michael Parsons this week talking about CeeDee Lamb, who has been holding out, is still holding out. And unless he gets a contract, I mean, he says he ain't going to play. We'll see. Here's Parsons on CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee's a part of his brotherhood, whether he likes it or not. He know he's not going nowhere. The business side, you know, they're going to take care of it. But, you know, obviously we miss him. I mean, he's one of the best people you can have in the locker room. And, you know, I'm pretty sure he'll be here soon because no doubt about it, week one, he will be suiting up for the Dallas Cowboys.
All right. Everything's fine until the very end. He goes, week one, he'll definitely be suiting up. So, John, does that put unfair pressure on CeeDee Lamb?
If I'm CeeDee Lamb, I'm not happy.
No chance. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
If I'm CeeDee Lamb, I'm like, dude, holding out for a purpose.
Micah Parsons, man. Like,
you're undercutting
it. You have to know where to draw a line, man. This is way too far.
That's what I thought.
You have crossed over into, like, Joe, you don't talk about another man's money and another man's contracts unless it's just, hey, good for him. Like, we're really happy. We're thrilled that he got paid what he deserves. What are you doing, man?
Ben, he undercut him, right?
Undermining your teammate's 100%. Contract situation.
That's off limits.
And by the way, your owner just sat there and continued to undermine.
The owner. Going.
Did you hear what Jerry Jones said about CeeDee also? Like, we don't miss him.
No,
we don't have pressure on us. This is unbelievable how bad it's gotten.
So here's
they should be concerned there's a lot going on there that is not healthy.
I agree. Look, here's the thing I'll say in Micah Parsons' defense. I don't think he meant to undercut his teammate. I think
it's
was
incredibly dumb.
He just doesn't know how to stop talking.
Yeah,
that's him. He likes to hear himself talk.
Yeah, he went too far. I don't think he was trying to be mean to rude to his teammate.
I don't think it was vindictive.
No, he loves him,
but
he's just...
I think it is a major mistake, and it really is harmful. The bottom line is it will harm CeeDee if he continues to say stuff like this. It might have already harmed the contract negotiation process.
All right, let's also get to today's Twitter poll questions of the day. We got two of them. They're both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Whether you want gas or electric, Armin has an Equinox for you. Armin's offering great savings on all Equinoxes. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. First poll question, should the Eagles play Jalen Hurts in tonight's preseason game, yes or no? Second poll question, which Eagles position battle intrigues you the most? Is it corners, of which there are many options, and two open starting spots? I mean, you know, Darius Slay is going to be one of the... By the way, does Darius Slay know? James, does Slay know that this is 1,000% his last year, no matter what, because I got 77 options to start next year?
I think so. I actually do. Like the way he's talked.
I mean,
he keeps talking about, like, I'm here to, like, help the young guys, this and that. Like, I think he gets that his days are numbered.
They're numbered. They're very numbered. You know whose also days are numbered? Does Kenny Gainwell know he has no chance to be an Eagle next year? He's no chance.
What are you doing?
No, because you're going to have Saquon Barkley. Yeah. You're going to have Will Shipley.
Vet minimum. You never know. Like those guys will stay on teams sometimes where it's like that's their right. Like Boston Scott was here for a while.
Let me frame it a different way. Does he know he has no chance to be anything more than a vet minimum?
There we go.
That's the question. That's the question.
Well, I could view it as a contract year and try to be even better.
Will you miss him? I won't. I'm not a huge fan.
No, but
I need a little more oomph.
No, I agree. I'm just intrigued by the athlete who's preparing for a year, but does he know in 4 months he's got to move? That's all I'm saying. All right. So cornerbacks, linebackers, right guard, third wide receiver. Which position battle intrigues you the most? Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Jack. He's calling from media. Good morning, Jack.
Hey, how you doing? My sons went to Malvern Prep. I'm down in Virginia now anyway, Williamsburg.
Nice.
He might remember me. My one son graduated in 96. John Heavens, and then my other son, Brian, graduated in 2000.
Yes.
Brian Heavens. And Ben actually went to Mecca with my youngest son, Brian, and Clarence Green.
Mecca.
And
retreat.
My son.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Got it.
Yeah, the reason my son got in Malvern is when he was in eighth grade, John was 6'2", 290. And we got a hold of Jim Stewart. And he said to go to St. Francis. So we went there.
Yep.
And anyway, they played St. Dot's, and St. Francis beat them. And Stewart said, why did you call? Why didn't you bring the kid over? So anyway, he went to Malvern, and we do go to those turkey bowls on Steel Field.
So are they big time, Jack? St. Dot's and St. Bernie's, is it as big as Ben says?
I'm telling you, I'm going back to 92. You couldn't get near Steel Field. I don't know if they still play
there.
That's
awesome.
Because the CYO did play at the Vet. They had a special games on Saturday. They went there, and it was CYO day at the Vet. But, yeah, both my sons, they played football. And I knew Ben from media because I used to coach Little League, and we used to play them quite often.
Nice.
Jack, did you just say your son was 290 pounds as an eighth grader?
John's a big boy.
199 pounds.
Ah.
He was okay. – Finished it up that year. 96,
that's still pretty huge.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, Malvern's line that year averaged 270.
Wow.
My son wound up being 6'5". Ben might remember. Called him Big John.
Yeah, Heavy D. We call
how
him.
Big?
Yes, and then you had
how Brooks big did he get? Is Heavy D politically incorrect these days?
Well, there's actually an actual heavy day. There's a famous Heavy D, like the rapper.
Like when you call Big Dom, Big Dom, is that politically incorrect?
No. He doesn't care.
You think he's tall. Does he take offense to being Big Dom?
Because he's tall, Joe.
Because he's taller.
You know, this is all tongue-in-cheek. All right, Jack, I need a great answer, my man. Who or what did you expect more from?
Ryan Sandberg. I'm going back. I'm 72
As a manager
old.
Or as a Phillies player?
As a Philly manager.
Yeah, okay, that's the right answer. I just wanted to make sure.
Well,
okay.
Couldn't have gotten less from him, that's for sure.
He just quit in the middle of the season, towards
bad.
The end? It was just...
It was really bad.
It was one of the most bizarre things ever.
So is he the most accomplished player that was ever a Philadelphia coach or manager? So you'd have him...
Doug Collins?
You'd have Billy Cunningham.
Billy Cunningham. Billy C. would be above Doug. And Ryan Sandberg is definitely above Doug. I mean, Ryan's above Billy. So, I mean, they're close. He's in the running for best second baseman of all time.
Sandberg and Billy Cunningham, probably Ryan. But I don't know. I didn't see Billy C. play.
But close. I mean, if you take Billy C.'s coaching career and put them together.
Is anyone else? Doug Peterson, no. I mean, Doug Peterson is actually up there.
He's a better player than Andy Reid was.
Better player than Chip Kelly was. All right. 215. Yeah, by the way,
like
speaking
Berube,
of.
Not that many. Yeah.
Well, Bill Barber.
Bill Barber coached. I forgot that he coached. That's a good call.
Bill Barber. All right. Let's listen to Brandon Graham because, you know, he was talking the other day. You know, a lot of good praise, and this is good to hear, a lot of praise these days at Jalen Hurts. Let's listen to BG talking about Hurts.
You could just see that Jalen's getting comfortable by the day, and just the way he's moving even quicker than he was last year. I think he was probably dealing with some stuff last year, but you can tell that he got a new and improved, you know, view of, you know, just life this year. And I'm excited for him because you can tell that he is excited. You see him, like, you know, y'all always be on him about smiling, but I know him personally, so it'd be like, you know, it's like that boy is really happy with what's going on, so I can't wait to see him go out there and do his thing.
It's awesome. Look, here's what we know. There's a lot we don't know, but here's what we know. If Jalen Hurts is great this year, as long as they don't have 27 million injuries, if Jalen Hurts is truly great, this team should compete for a Super Bowl.
And you'll have to be sitting aside, rooting for other teams.
John,
I don't know.
You know, I was the guy, you know,
maybe
happy.
You can root for the.
I was the guy happy when they drafted him, when you and Seltzer.
That's true. No,
Seltzer
you're right.
said, and this is a quote. That is a quote. Seltzer said, even if Jalen Hurts turns into the greatest football player of all time, it will still be a bad draft pick.
Yeah. And then what was that, like 3 years later, I was like, well, that was one of the dumbest things I ever said. Whoops.
Because you thought it was such an effrontery.
Yeah, I thought it was a mistake.
I thought it was such a mistake.
But who was telling you?
I'm going to give you a hint. The question is, who was telling you Carson isn't any good?
Elliot Shoreparks was saying it to me.
There was three of us. the three wise men. Shoreparks, Giglio, and...
And me. I used to text you.
We would text.
Yeah, I would text you and go, this guy's terrible.
But that was more during 2020. I was on this like a little further back.
You know? No, I was, you can ask Elliot, because I would text with Elliot. Yeah, you know, usually when I was ripping Jonathan Gannon, I would slide in Carson Winstinks.
Yeah, John, I was not there.
John,
so.
I know you have a lot of experience with this. So given your vast experience, I'm curious, what's it like to be wrong?
Oh,
jeez. I'm just kidding. It's all love, John. It's all love.
I will crush your face.
All right, let's get to Mark. He's calling from downtown. Yo, Mark.
Good morning. You actually just threw me off. I hope John Ritchie jumps across the table.
I would love to, Mark.
I think he was thinking about it for the first time maybe this year.
In the river.
You know, as a loyal fan, Joe, I want to welcome you back. I really missed you.
Thank you, buddy.
You provided, in your absence, you still provided tons of wonderful content last week.
Oh, no. So I barely listened. It was one of those just get away things.
Good.
By the way, since I left Greece, why would you listen? Since I left Greece, and I want to be clear, it was not me. Okay?
This is like Shaggy.
It's like Shaggy. Okay? It was not me. Greece is like on fire.
I know. It was crazy.
Like Athens is on fire right now.
It wasn't on fire when you were there?
No.
So the wildfire started after you
and
left?
And I did not start the fire. I just want to be... Okay.
We got another Fred Barnett toilet situation going here.
Exactly. When did the fire start compared to when you left?
I don't quite know, but it was around the same time.
It seems conspicuous.
And by the way, Seltzer, I got a Fred Barnett thing.
Uh-oh.
He wanted to hang this week, maybe golf with me.
Sure
I had
did.
To say no.
Oh, my God. Look at you. Too big for Fred Barnett.
Too busy.
Oh, man.
He's in town. I'm like, Fred, I'm...
You jerk.
When did you leave?
The fact that you just told us that is a jerk move.
It was a jerk move.
I name dropped that. Yeah.
You just told us that you were too busy for Fred Barnett.
Well, that was what made the story.
Yeah, but it's messed up, man.
That's like when Ben hung out with Ichiro,
Fred.
You know? It's like, you know. All right, and then he came in here and talked about how he hung out with Ichiro. I mean, come on, who does not want to name drop everyone? I mean, by the way, Howard is the all-timer.
He's the king of name drops, that's for sure.
Let me give you the actual true all-timer was Dick Schaap, for those who remember him from the ESPN. Mark and Downey Town,
I'm
sorry.
He earned it, Dick Schaap.
Go ahead, buddy. Hello, Mark.
It's okay. It's very entertaining. I'll skip the humor. As far as the game tonight, As a fan, I would love to see the offense, and I think it's important for the starting offense to play a few series. But more importantly, I really would prefer the starting defense to play a full series. And I'm looking forward to seeing the pass rush, the linebackers,
yeah.
but most importantly, the secondary. I really think the secondary needs to play some series at full speed just to get the communication down and to get the schemes down.
Yeah, unfortunately, I guess it would be without CJ GJ, so some of that communication would be off. But, you know, but I hear you. All right, Mark, give me a great answer. Who or what did you expect more from?
I won already, but I'll give an answer for fun. I expected more from Don Brown.
Yeah. Oh, listen. Wow. Ben, how do you – seriously, wow. Serious question, Ben. How does a guy be that dominant for 1 month and pretty damn good for 3 months and then never be good again in baseball? How does that happen?
Because the big leagues find a book on you and they attack accordingly and they can execute.
Wow.
But I've never seen – I've said this to
numerous
people.
There aren't any other reasons?
I've never seen anyone have a month and a half like he did.
Wasn't it 20 homers in the 1 month?
It was ridiculous. Oh, it was ridiculous.
Man. Was it 20, Seltzer?
I don't know if it was that many.
It wasn't that many, no.
All right, but it was something.
It was a lot.
It was insane.
It was insane.
I thought it was like 14 in 1 month,
I know,
and then like it was like 20 in a short period of time, for sure.
Maybe a month and a half, something like that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.